Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Coming up later this hour, is New York the most polite city in the world and Mumbai, India, the rudest? Writer Suketu Beta, who has lived in both, will be here. And yes, he will beg to differ with the recent ranking, the dropped paper holding door say thank you test. But first, it may only be June, but it's already the heart of election season in the race for the U.S. Senate in New Jersey. Did you catch the debate on television yesterday by any chance? Oh, don't worry. There's another one tonight. To judge from this exchange, we may be in for a dirty fight on ethics. Here is Republican challenger Thomas Kane Jr., followed by Democrat and current Senator Robert Menendez. Kane Jr. first.
Bob, I think you are unethical. I think the issues that focus on steering of contracts, government contracts to allies and political leaders, is wrong.
You have been distorting my record in the pursuits of your own political goal. And when we talk about ethics, it seems to me, Tom, that you hold yourself to a different standard.
And there are indications in the press, not on the editorial pages, but in the news pages of the Star Ledger and the New York Times over the weekend, that Menendez may write when he says he's maybe right when he says he's being swift-boated by Kane. We'll get to that, but that may not be the biggest political news out of New Jersey this morning as the governor and the legislature head for Saturday's budget deadline, neither side yet blinking over Governor Corzine's proposal to raise the state sales tax. And this morning we will get two views of all these goings-on from legislators and then get some analysis with political scientist David Rebovich. We'll start our discussion with the New Jersey Senate Minority Leader Leonard Lance, a Republican who represents Hunterdon and Warren counties. Senator Lance, welcome back to WNYC. Hi there.
Thank you, Brian, for having me back. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
And let's start with a budget standoff, since that's something you're directly involved with. How big a gap is the governor trying to close, first of all, with the 1% sales tax increase? And where is this going?
The 1% sales tax increase from 6% to 7% would raise roughly $1.5 billion. And that is really the underpinnings of the governor's budget. We Republicans in the state Senate do not favor raising that tax because we believe it would make us even less competitive than we are now with neighboring states, Brian. As you know, Pennsylvania has a 6% sales tax. Delaware has no sales tax. And in suburban counties in New York State surrounding New York City, not New York City itself, but in suburban counties, this tax is at 6%. And so we think that raising it to 7% would make us even less competitive than we are now.
So what are the Senate Republicans proposing as specific alternatives to closing this multi-billion dollar gap?
I want to give credit to the Assembly Republicans who on Thursday put out a plan, and there is more than $2 billion in cuts in that plan. For example, aid to the city of Trenton, this is discretionary aid to other municipalities that's based upon discretion, no formula. We believe in the urban school districts there should be some cut there. There have been terrible scandals and abuses, Brian, in various places, and most recently in the city of Camden. The Assembly proposal on the Republican side is more than $2 billion in cuts. I'm not sure that the governor can agree with all of them, but we would urge the governor and his administration to look at those cuts.
So the state constitution requires that you have agreed on a balanced budget by Saturday, that's July 1st, and the governor has already sent out a memo asking his cabinet members to start making plans for an actual government shutdown in the event that that no budget is reached. How would your district be affected by such a shutdown?
We have reservoirs in our district, and they provide not only water to the people of New Jersey, Brian, but they also provide recreational opportunities. And I believe that we will meet our constitutional responsibility by June 30th, which is Friday, or perhaps no later than Saturday morning, the 1st of July.
Does that mean a 0.5% sales tax increase, a compromise?
I don't think that that will occur. I think that sales tax will either be increased or not increased by the 1%. But as you know, Assembly Democrats are in opposition to raising the sales tax. This is not just coming from us Republicans.
So you must be having a good time watching the Democrats fight this out among themselves.
I'm interested to move forward, Brian, in a fiscally responsible way. I don't think we have a problem in New Jersey based upon revenues. We have a problem in New Jersey based upon spending. Most states across the country, including New York State and including New York City under the leadership of Mayor Bloomberg, have surpluses. We have deficits in New Jersey because for too long we have spent more than we take in recurring revenue, and additionally for too long we have borrowed to balance the state budget. And as you and I have discussed before, I put an end to that by going to our state Supreme Court to prohibit borrowing to balance the state budget. But I predict we can reach the constitutional deadline of June 30th.
Before we bring in one of your Democratic counterparts, Senator Shirley Turner, did you see the debate between Senator Menendez and Tom Kaine Jr. yesterday?
I certainly did. Tom Kaine Jr. is the minority whip in the state Senate. He's part of the leadership team that I had, and I think he did a terrific job. And I believe that this will be perhaps the most competitive race in the nation. And I think it's the one chance across all of America, Brian, where we Republicans may actually pick up a seat.
Do you think that Menendez is being swift-boated, as he called it? Both the New York Times and Star Ledger, as I'm sure you saw, have looked at the record of what Menendez's role in Hudson County was in the 80s and seem to think that Kaine is just getting his facts wrong.
That issue was related to a corrupt politician in the 1980s, a former Senator Musto, who is now deceased. But I believe Tom Kaine is right regarding the fact that too often in New Jersey we engage in what is known as pay-to-play. Certainly the Hudson County Democratic Organization has done that, and we Republicans in the Senate want to ban pay-to-play across the board. And so on that aspect of the issue, I believe Senator Kaine is absolutely right. The throwing of contracts toward those who have contributed to your campaigns, and I think we have to put an end to that in New Jersey, and Tom Kaine has been a real leader in that area.
But he seems to be making a very big thing out of this ethical challenge to Menendez individually based on the 80s. You think this is going to come back to haunt him as a trust issue on the part of the voters?
I believe the voters believe in the trustworthiness of Senator Kaine and certainly of his father, former Governor Kaine. And I believe that Tom Kaine is exactly right on the pay-to-play issue. And I think we're going to be moving beyond that to an issue of homeland security, to an issue as to who can fight in Washington to bring back much-needed revenues to New Jersey.
Kaine voted for, said he would have voted for the war. Menendez voted against. You think that's a popular position in New Jersey?
I believe New Jerseyans want to make sure that as we leave Iraq, we do it in a way to provide the opportunity for the Iraqi people to move ahead in a democracy. And I do not believe the people of New Jersey favor a precipitous withdrawal. Mm-hmm. I recognize there is a debate back and forth, Brian, as to the issue of weapons of mass destruction. But I do believe that Senator Kaine has an excellent opportunity to be elected as our U.S. Senator.
State Senate Minority Leader Leonard Lance. We'll see what happens as we crash toward Saturday's deadline. Thank you very much, as
always. Thank you, Brian, for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now we'll get the Democratic side with State Senator Shirley Turner, a Democrat representing Mercer County, which includes Trenton. Senator, welcome to WNYC. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Brian. I'm glad to be with you.
Well, Senator Lance said New Jersey has a spending problem, not a revenue problem, and therefore the sales tax increase that the governor wants would be wrong. Where are you on this?
Well, my feeling is that a sales tax has a disproportionate impact on low-income earners. And I'm deeply concerned about the people who are making less than $30,000 a year living in New Jersey. It's definitely unaffordable when we have one of the highest housing costs, auto insurance costs, utility costs, and now we're going to add an additional sales tax, which disproportionately hurts them. So I don't support a sales tax at this time. If we're going to require low-income earners to continue paying an income tax, and on top of that, a higher sales tax.
So
and, of course, there are people who say, well, it's only a penny, but it's actually 16.6% increase in the tax.
Because from 6% to 7% is
and that's a
16.6%
increase.
So you're an example of the split in the Democratic Party on this, because you're a Democrat, but you're on the same side as Senator Lance. What do you think the implications for your district would be if there is no budget agreement and under the state constitution, the state government has to shut down for a time?
Well, I don't believe it's going to shut down. I think that as every year we go through this, it's like a dance ritual. We'll have a budget. If not by 12 o'clock midnight, it will certainly be before the next morning. So we're committed to staying here and making sure that we have a budget so that we can continue the operation of government, because we all know that it does cause a lot of havoc and is problematic to so many people in this state, and particularly people in my district. So I'm committed to staying here as long as it takes to come up with a balanced budget. But I'm just concerned that we not hurt those people who are struggling at the bottom, who are barely making ends meet.
Did you see the Cain-Menendez debate yesterday?
No, I did not, but I'm going to see it tonight. I know they're debating again tonight, so I'm looking forward to seeing that one.
Senator Lance mentioned Iraq. Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to play clips of both Menendez and Cain from the debate on Iraq, also on immigration. But on the Iraq issue, Senator Menendez was one of only 13 in the Senate last week to vote for that John Kerry-Russell Feingold resolution that would require just about all U.S. troops to be out of Iraq in the next year. Even most Democrats didn't support that as putting too rigid a timetable on our government. Do you think that's where the people of New Jersey are on Iraq?
Well, I think that the people in New Jersey, I think overall they want us out of Iraq. I'm not so sure if they are supporting the timetable, but I know most of the people that I talk to, and particularly in my district, are fed up with the way that war is being fought and the way we're losing so many lives as well as wasting so much money over there when it doesn't seem to be any light at the end of the tunnel. So I'm not sure how my district or how the state breaks down in terms of a timetable.
So you don't think there's a judgment issue for Senator Menendez there if he's, you know, in a small group of senators who thinks it's right to set a rigid timetable?
Well, there were those people who were in the minority, too, who voted not to support the war in Iraq, and they were proven to be right. So, you know, the minority sometimes proves to be the brighter people. So he may turn out to be the same way in this regard as well.
We have 30 seconds left.
But we in New Jersey are the bluest of the blue, and because the president is so low in the polls in New Jersey, I think that gives an additional advantage to Senator Menendez.
20 seconds. You say that you and the others who are on your side are sticking to your guns on the sales tax question. But you also say that you expect everything will be worked out by Saturday, so there won't be a government shutdown. Do you see a compromise in the works? 15 seconds.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, there could be a compromise if the governor would eliminate the income tax on those people making less than $30,000 a year so that they will get some relief.
New Jersey State Senator Shirley Turner, a Democrat representing Mercer County, which includes Trenton. Thanks a lot for coming on, Senator.
Thank you. Bye
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More on that debate with clips and analysis. Stay tuned. Brian Lehrer on WNYC coming up in 20 minutes. The writer Suketu Mehta, who has lived in both New York and Mumbai, formerly known as Bombay, compares the urban culture of the two cities. That's coming up in 20 minutes. But right now, joining me to offer his usual on-target analysis of all things political in New Jersey is David Rebovich, political science professor at Rider University in Lawrenceville. Welcome back to the show, David.
Oh, it's nice to be here, Brian.
So let's talk about this Menendez McCain U.S. Senate race. State Senator Lance said he thinks this might be a rare seat that could go from a Democrat to a Republican this year. And, of course, control of the U.S. Senate, as the U.S. House, seems to be at stake in the way any of these close races go. So there's a lot at stake when it comes to Menendez-Cain. We'll play some clips from their debate last night. But tell me what you thought of the exchange and where this race stands, first of all.
I think I'm a little surprised that the race is so close at this point, because we talk about New Jersey being a blue state. New Jersey has not elected a Republican to the U.S. Senate since 1972, and then it was the very liberal Republican Clifford Case. Bob Menendez has the advantages of incumbency, has worked the media very well since January, since John Corzine named him to the Senate, was out front on the Port Dubai issue, and to a certain degree on the immigration issue. Having said all that, however, we look at the polls and we find that Cain and Menendez are running neck and neck. In part, and I don't mean to be cynical, because Tom Cain Jr. shares the same name as his very famous and well-respected father, but also because I think New Jerseyans really want to hear what both candidates have to say about the complex issues facing the nation and state at this time.
And now we can open up the phones in our inbox for your calls on either the New Jersey state politics, with the budget deadline of this Saturday, the possibility even of a state government shutdown, as Governor Corzine has asked his cabinet members to prepare for, since the Constitution doesn't let the state go forward with its business unfunded for very long, or this Cain Menendez U.S. Senate race. Are you undecided if this is such a bluest of the blue state? Why is this so close in the polls? Are you giving Tom Cain Jr. a good look, even if you tend to vote Democratic? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or email Brian Lehrishow at WNYC.org for Rider University political analyst David Rebovich. And just on what you said before we get to these clips, it seems to me that this happens every year in New Jersey when there's a statewide race, that it actually starts out kind of close. And the pollsters and the pundits say, ooh, Bob Franks is close in this race. It could go either way. Ooh, Doug Forrester is close in this race. It could go either way. And then by election day, the Democrat wins by 15 points.
Yeah, it's right on the money, Brian. And the question is about the Cain candidacy. Is he peaking? Is the 40-43% that he's getting in some of the polls the maximum support that he will receive? And is it the case, and I'd be very curious if we hear from some listeners, is it the case that par for the course, New Jersey's undecided voters will vote Democrat as the default party, as the party they feel more secure with as Election Day approaches? And frankly, as Menendez continues to hammer home with the argument that New Jersey would not be well served by sending a Republican to Washington to vote yes with President Bush on policies that are not all that popular in the
right.
Garden State.
Okay, so let's go over some of these policy comparisons. We're going to play each of them on Iraq and each of them on immigration from yesterday's debate. Here first is Senator Menendez talking about that vote we were discussing. He was one of just 13 senators to vote for the John Kerry Amendment to set a specific timetable for withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq by next year.
I did not vote for the war in Iraq in the first instance. I believe that it was a war of choice, not a war of necessity. And having done my due diligence when I was called upon then as a member of the House of Representatives to cast a war on that vote, it seemed to me that there was no clear and present danger, no imminent threat to the United States, and notwithstanding what the president said, no weapons of mass destruction and the evidence available to members of Congress. And so I cast a principled vote against the war. And I believe that we need to change the course of events in Iraq, and that's why I voted for the amendment that Senator Kerry offered.
All right, so it's not about property taxes in Montclair when somebody goes to the United States Senate, and that's what Senator Menendez is staking out as his position on Iraq right now. What would State Senator Thomas Cain Jr., if he became U.S. Senator Cain?
I think setting an artificial timeline for withdrawal of our troops is wrong. I think it puts them in harm's way, puts the people of this country in harm's way. We can't look back. This election is about looking forward. And I think we need to make sure we do everything in our power to withdraw our troops in a timely manner. But setting an artificial timeline doesn't do that. We also need to make sure that we're supporting our troops. My opponent, Bob Menendez, voted against $87 billion to support those troops, give them the Bombardier, the tools they need to win this war. He voted against that. His a person who appointed him, John Corzine, who voted against the war as well, supported that because he said it was the right thing to do. We need to make sure our troops have the right tools they need to win this war.
David Rebovich, do you see Iraq as a salient issue in this campaign?
Well, I do, but I do think New Jerseyans are in the process of working out their own views on this very complicated issue. You know, my sense would be that right now most New Jerseyans would prefer the U.S. to get out, but to get out slowly and perhaps not with a not with an absolute date for withdrawal. Interestingly, though, Brian, I mean, when I hear Kane's response, the sense I'm getting is that Bob Menendez better be careful that he doesn't provide Kane with ammunition to draw him, Menendez, as someone who's even a little bit too liberal for New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the direction that Kane is headed in here.
All right. Let's hear both of them on the immigration question, which, of course, is so on the minds of members of Congress right now. In fact, this will become probably even more salient around the country as the House Republican leadership holds hearings around America on immigration this summer. Here is Senator Menendez on immigration policy.
But I believe that we need to get control of our borders, and that's why I supported legislation in the United States Senate that is both tough and smart. It is tough as it relates to border protection, more border patrol agents, customs inspectors, detention facilities, sanctions on employers who hire those who are undocumented. Smart in the reality that it needs to find a pathway towards earned legalization, and it's a very difficult pathway. You get put at the back of the line. You get fined a serious fine. We do background checks on you to make sure you have no criminal record either in this country or the country you came from. You have to learn English. You have to pay your taxes. And then and only then, which for most people will be about 8 years after this process starts, do you have an opportunity to become a permanent resident of the United States.
So there's Menendez on immigration, and here's Kane on immigration.
But I think what we need to make sure of is, number one, that we secure our borders. Secondly, that we penalize those businesses who knowingly hire illegal workers. And finally, we've got the question of what do we do with the 11.5 million people or more who are here illegally. Bob Menendez and I have a very different position on this. He believes in a direct path to citizenship for those individuals who have entered our country illegally and broken our laws. I think that's wrong. I think it sends a very wrong message to the people of the states and the people of the world that in the United States, the clearest path to success is by breaking the law.
So, David Rebovich, first of all, how different are they on this? They both start their answers by calling for control and securing our borders.
The difference, Brian, and this came out yesterday in the interview, Kane was forced to say that, well, he believes that the 11.5 million folks who were here illegally in the United States would have to be exported, if you will, back to their home nations and then apply for readmission to the United States. And as one of the questioners in the debate said, well, geez, isn't that really a multi-million dollar enterprise that you're recommending, multi-billion dollar enterprise that you're recommending? And Kane had a difficult time really fleshing out his ideas. Menendez is, I guess, is looking for a path to citizenship, but as he puts it, one that would take upwards of six to eight years. And New Jerseyans are very mixed on this issue. Like New York City, New Jersey is extremely diverse. Of our 8.5 million residents, over 1 million have been born in other countries. We're a gateway state. So there's a certain amount of sympathy for the plight of illegal immigrants in New Jersey, and I think a recognition that there has to be a middle ground on this policy issue. I'm not so sure it's one that Kane can exploit to attract lots of undecided voters. Very more important to his base, perhaps, than it is to the undecided voters whose support he's going to need in November.
93.9 AM 820 WNYC.org with Rider University political analyst David Rebovich as we talk both about the Menendez-Kane U.S. Senate race, debate one yesterday, debate two tonight, and also about the deadline of Saturday for a state budget under very difficult circumstances, a $4 billion budget deficit, Governor Corzine proposing a 1% increase, 1 percentage point increase in the sales tax. that even a lot of Democrats are opposing. And I wonder, New Jersey listeners, is this like Florio in the early 1990s? Is this a make or break issue for your fundamental support of Governor Corzine, the fact that he's proposing a tax increase at all, coming in as Florio did once upon a time and facing a very, very large budget deficit in his first year? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or email Brian Larashow at WNYC.org. Maggie in Hoboken, you're on WNYC. Hi, Maggie.
Hi, how are you, Brian?
All right, thanks.
I guess I just wanted to say I consider myself a Democrat and probably left of the Democratic Party, and I'm going to vote for Menendez. But why I can almost see, you know, in New Jersey that every time there's polling, Republicans get some, I guess, some boost from people is that, you know, I live in Hudson County, and the corruption here in Hoboken and then in Hudson County is just so visible and so rampant, and there's this sort of Democratic Party machine, which Menendez is definitely part of. And I think I've met a lot of people who I think share views of the Democratic Party, but they're so frustrated by the corruption.
So David Rebbe,
David, give more recognitions to the Republicans than they would normally.
Right. Interesting. And David, this is exactly what Kane is trying to play on in the mode of attack, the line of attack that he's using against Menendez, isn't it? Just people like Maggie's doubts, despite her political leanings.
Right, and I think, you know, Maggie's onto something there, and I think Menendez recognizes that there is some skepticism about him as an urban Democratic leader in suburbia, and it's in the suburbs where all those unaffiliated voters are who will decide this election. So if Kane is able to have some success on the ethics issue, it'll make it that much tougher on Menendez to pull ahead.
Jim in Montclair, you're on WNYC. Hello, Jim.
Hi. I just had a question about, do you think it's because of what happened to Florio that the governor seems completely unwilling to discuss the possibility of a progressive income tax increase instead of a sales tax increase that disproportionately affects the poor, just because, you know, Florio was crucified for even considering raising an income tax?
David Rebovich?
That's an interesting and important question. The sales tax has polled better in New Jersey. New Jersey, 60 to 70% of New Jerseyans said they would prefer a sales tax increase to an increase in marginal income tax rates. But Corzine, I think, has a policy response to that question. He has said, look, it may sound easy to tax the well-to-do, to increase marginal income tax rates on the well-to-do, but he's worried about how that might affect the business climate of the state, concerned that firms who hire high-salaried, high-tech workers would look to other locations to expand their businesses and operations as opposed to New Jersey.
And when Senator Lance was here earlier in the hour, the Republican leader of the state Senate, he said, one of the big concerns here with respect to raising taxes is that businesses are leaving for Pennsylvania and elsewhere. How much do you think that's just a political line, and how much is that true?
I think Corzine is sincere, and I think he has talked to business leaders about this issue, and there's some data that does demonstrate that Jersey has lost out on high-tech jobs over the last 4 or 5 years. But, Brian, there's another interesting political spin to Jim's question. If New Jersey pursues property tax reform, they're going to have to shift revenues to another form of taxation. The likelihood is if property taxes are reduced, income tax rates would be increased to make up for the revenue that's lost from the property tax reduction. So
Right. Having
said that, Corzine does not want to use the income tax this year just to balance the budget.
And interesting that if he's going to the sales tax as something that's politically more acceptable, well, now he's got Democrats, urban Democrats like Senator Turner from Trenton, who was on before, who said, look, the sales tax is regressive. So if you're going to increase the tax on, you know, people's purchases of necessities rather than the income tax on people's high earnings, then, you know, you're hurting working class people in my district, and I'm not going to vote for it.
You're right, and there's a second whammy associated with the Corzine approach, and that is he's also recommending flat levels of state aid to school districts and municipalities, which means that to cover inflationary increases in government contracts, health care costs of teachers, et cetera, is that property taxpayers are likely to experience a 5 to 7% increase in property taxes. And so Senator Turner, you know, she's right, complaining of, you know, 7% tax on sales tax and then higher property taxes for moderate-income workers in her district really is going to be rough.
Although we should mention that food and clothing are not taxed, I believe, on the
sales tax
in New Jersey. And Newsday had a stat today talking about soaking the rich, that 42% of taxes come from 1% of taxpayers. Sam in Scotch Plains, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sam.
Hi, I want to comment on the debate of that Menendez had with Cain. There's no question in my mind that Menendez is the better speaker. I think Cain talks in very choppy terms. He also has got a higher-pitched voice. That being said, I don't think Cain knows how to attack Menendez where he's most vulnerable. And that is, Menendez comes from a very crooked town, Union City. He comes from a very crooked county. He was Musto's boy for many, many years.
Sam, let me ask you,
Sure. What
do you as a voter care more about? Where he comes from and whether he was Musto's boy in the 80s or whether he's got the policies that you agree with for the future of the country since he'd be in the United States Senate today?
Well, I think I care more about the policies that he's going to be as a senator, except I think somebody's history comes along with him.
Mm-hmm.
And you just can't say, well, okay, who's the better speaker? Who's going to do better in terms of being a senator? I think he's got to live with what he's done. And if I had to choose between the two, I'd rather go with somebody who's more credible, more honest, and in many ways younger, and I think eventually he'll grow into his position.
So character matters.
Character matters very, very much.
Sam, thank you very much. And here's an email that says the Star-Ledger reported over the weekend that private jobs in New Jersey are flat since 2000. Secondly, the top marginal tax rate in New Jersey is 8.9%, and there are no deductions. Is that true? We're going to run out of time here, David, but no deductions? Don't you get your federal deductions basically on your state taxes,
too? Yes, that's true.
All right. So what do you look for in debate number two between Cain and Menendez tonight?
I want to see if Tom Cain is able to keep the ethics issue alive, if he's able to speak more fluently about national and international policy issues, and if Bob Menendez is able to try to force Cain into a corner and get him, Cain, to side with President Bush's policies or disagree with him. I think that'll be the dynamic tonight.
David Rebovich, political science professor at Rider University in Lawrenceville. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Is New York really the most polite city in the world? And Mumbai really the least? Suketu Mehta, who has lived in both, compares cultures. Stay with us.